Radio Show. I am your host, William Harry. This show is dedicated to the power of creativity, featuring creative minds from a variety of artistic disciplines. People who empower, educate, heal, inspire, as well as entertain our community. Tonight, we have a very special guest, Mr. Jesse Rodales. He's an internationally acclaimed artist. His work is featured in galleries throughout this nation and collected throughout the world. He's a featured artist in the 2006 U.S. Olympics. He resides in North Hollywood, and it is a pleasure to have him on our show tonight. It should be a very interesting and powerful conversation with Mr. Jesse Rodales. We're going to take a quick short break, and we're also going to play a song selection. When we return, we will be talking with Mr. Jesse Rodales. Call in, if you'd like, at 917-932-1078. We will be back in a short moment.
Why are over 150,000 people a month joining the 90-Day Body by Vi Challenge? Because we're North America's leading weight loss and fitness challenge. No gluten, no lactose, diabetic-friendly, kosher-certified, 100% risk-free, 100% guaranteed, and it gets better. Lowest sodium, lowest sugar, lowest carbs, and with over 300 recipes to make your shakes fantastic every day, this is not a fad. This is a movement. Join the Body by Vi 90-Day Challenge at www.ambitionchallenge.com. That would be ambition with a Z. Are you up for the challenge?
We are back. This is the VCR, Village Creative Radio Show. Is Jesse on the line with us? Jesse, are you here?
Yeah, I'm right here, buddy. How you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. First of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on tonight. It's a privilege and an honor to be on your show, the BCR. Heard a lot of good things about your show. So I'm excited, man.
Well, thank you. And I've heard a lot of great things, and I've read a lot of great things about you. I'm excited about having you on the show tonight and talking about a host of things that you're involved in and things that you're doing.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started because let's go ahead and get started. Tell me about North Carolina and growing up in the South, if you will. I understand that you were a very special child to your mother, and I'm speaking in particular about your birth. Could you start us off with telling that story?
Yes, sir. First of all, let me just say I am proud to be a country boy from Wilson, North Carolina. It's my home. I love it. And, you know, I am very, very proud. When people think, you know, a lot of people think I'm from Hollywood or California, and they're always, like, asking me, you know, where are you from? When I say Wilson, North Carolina, they're like, what do you mean? I thought you were from North Hollywood. I'm like, no, man, that's where I'm at now. But I'm from Wilson, North Carolina. That's where I get all my values, my drive, my determination, my focus, my family roots. So I'm a proud country boy.
I hear that.
Let me just make that clear. And as far as me being a stillborn is a child or an infant that's premature and he's basically born dead. So they call them stillborns. I was a stillborn child, a miracle baby. My mother and my grandmother, they prayed, you know, to the Lord that, you know, that I would come back to life, basically. And when I did, she made a promise to the Lord. She named me after Jesus. So my real name is Jesus, which is my last, the title of my last art show, which was hosted by Jermaine Jackson. It's called My Real Name is Jesus. That's why I titled it that. Because I want to give glory to God, because I put him first in my life, and then everything else just follows and falls into place. And my mother always taught me to give God the glory for this great artistic gift that he has given me, because I was stillborn, a miracle baby. I wasn't supposed to speak. They cut my tongue so that I would be able to speak when I was an infant. I wasn't supposed to be able to walk. I had braces on my legs. So she made a promise to the Lord, sent me to school until I was in the first grade with sandals on, burlap robes that she made. She grew my hair out long and named me after Jesus. So that was my childhood,
wow.
My kindergarten to first grade. But she kept her promise. My mom is a very spiritual woman, and, you know, she kept her promise to the Lord. So that's basically the story or the background behind why my name is Jesus. My stage name is Jesse Rodales.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me about your education and growing up in North Carolina as an artist. And I would imagine, you know, with your hair growing out long, and you may have been a little different than a lot of people with a name like Jesus. Talk a little bit about that experience, being creative in that environment and being who you are.
Definitely. Well, yeah, it was unique. It was different. I've always been a unique person or a different person. I've always been considered, you know, strange or different or odd, but it's okay because that's what makes me.
Right.
And, yeah, my mother, like I said, she grew my hair out. I did cut my hair, you know, during school, and then I, you know, grow it back. Like, you know, right now I grow it for 2 years, then I cut it off, then I grow it for 2 years. But it was fun, man. It was Wilson, North Carolina is a great place to have a family. You learn a lot of family values. You learn a lot about, you know, everybody knows everybody. Back then it was mostly tobacco and tobacco roads, and that was the main income, you know, working in the warehouses and stuff or getting a job at Firestone, which things have changed now. There's no, I think all the warehouses, tobacco warehouses are empty. But growing up, I learned to work early. I would rake leaves. I would paint murals on the walls, which one's still up in Wilson, North Carolina. There's a big mural I painted. I actually went back there 2 years ago and had the they revamped it and repainted it and everything for me. They wanted me to come down and re-sign it. So I went down there and signed it, and, you know, the city manager was there, and the city development people were there, and they were just all excited. It was really cool. I learned a lot growing up in Wilson, always working hard, and, you know, just good people, man.
Okay.
So it was a blessing growing up in Wilson, North Carolina.
Well, cool. Tell me about your training as an artist. Did you go to school for art? Are you self-taught?
I was born with the gift, man. My mother and I, we always, the furthest back we can remember is since I was 4 years old. That's when I, you know, started drawing, just painting, and I always knew how to draw, sketch, paint, self-taught. I just knew how to do it. It was like no one had to teach me anything. I did get a couple of scholarships to go to some, and grants to go to a couple of schools growing up, art academies. And I taught art classes for the youth enrichment programs during the summer as a teenager, and also for YEP and Arts Council. YEP now is really Sally B. Howard, which is an art school in Wilson, North Carolina, the performing arts school. And I go back there and visit a lot when I go down and see Dr. Woodard and Miss Howard. So I used to teach art classes during the summertime at parks and at recreation centers. And I ended up getting a scholarship to go to the Arts Institute of Atlanta, Georgia. And
okay.
I went to the Arts Institute, but unfortunately the first George Bush cut the funds. And, you know, when you cut taxes and you cut funds, the first thing to go is the arts. So I had to leave there after a year going to art school, and that's how I ended up in California.
Wow. Well, you made the most of it, right?
Oh, definitely. Now when I talk to my college friends, every single college friend that I had that went to the art school is doing nothing with art. I'm the one that had to leave, but I'm the only one that's successful in art or that's made a career out of my art. So, you know, it goes to show you where that determination and focus and that drive that you have to be successful comes in. You know, so I like to tell any young kids or any young artists out there that, you know, if there's a wall thrown up in your face or there's a detour, it doesn't mean you give up. You know, my funds were cut. I couldn't afford art school. But I continued and found a different way. So don't ever give up on your dreams, no matter how big they are, no matter how big the obstacles. Just keep moving forward.
I hear that. Well, talk to me about your creative process. I checked out some of your work, and I'm real interested in how you evolved into painting and how you evolved into being where you are now as a painter. Could you tell me about that process and how you approach that?
You mean as far as when I begin a painting or how I started?
Well, how you started as a painter.
Okay. Basically, man, I would say that I'm more or less like Michelangelo. He sculpted, he painted, he drafted. He was an architect. He was an inventor. I am all of those things. I invented the safety knee pads for infants. They're called We Knees. I sculpt, I paint, I draw, I do landscapes, I do graphic art now, which I added to my arsenal, and, you know, I just do it all. So it's something that I was just born with. I'm just a creator. The Lord blessed me to be able to just create and invent things and to always explore, you know, my artistic talent. Also design clothes, paint murals. So it's just something that I was born with, just a creative mind. And I'm considered a mood artist, meaning that whatever mood I'm in, that's how I paint. You know, if I'm sad or happy or you know, excited, that's how I paint. I don't just paint like one thing over and over again, because there's lots of artists that just paint one thing over and over again. Like they'll just paint shoes or leaves or trees or landscapes or mountains, and that's all they paint. That's what they're known for. I'm a mood artist. I paint current affairs. I paint things that happen in my time, my era, things that are happening now. Like Katrina, when that happened, I painted, you know, a little child with the water hose because he had to survive. You know, if a great artist like Michael Jackson passes away, or Bill Cosby's son, then, you know, Marvin Gaye, Richard Pryor, then I paint that person, because that's on that night. That's just how I, you know, whatever creative mood I'm in, that's how I, or that's what I paint. Current affairs, things that happen in my time, because hieroglyphics is art. And before there was the internet, before there was newspapers, before there was televisions or magazines, we know about our history because of the artists of the past that painted on the caves or drew on the caves, and the Mayans, and all of these amazing artists that told our past. And that's what I try
okay.
to, you know, do with my art. I try to tell what's going on in my life or my time that I'm here on this earth, my era.
Very powerful. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break, and please stay with us for a while. We're going to get into some more things. Once again, if you're just tuning in, this is Jesse Rodelis, world-class artist. You're listening to the Village Creative Radio Show. I am your host, William Harriet. We will be back in a short moment after a break.
Hey, good evening, Jesse Douglas, top team leader in Visalus, the 90-day Body by Vi Challenge, the North America's leading fitness and weight loss challenge. I am here jumping out to give a huge shout-out, a huge welcome to our newest, hottest team member out of Hotlanta, Georgia. You're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. This is a media entrepreneur extraordinaire. There is nothing this lady can't do. There is absolutely no stopping this gal when she sets up to do something. And we already know that over 150,000 people a month are joining the Body by Vi 90-Day Challenge. But now with, here we go, Demetra Didi Stewart. Yep, that's right. Demetra Didi Stewart joining the team in Visalus, the 90-Day Challenge. We have no idea what's about to happen. You want to play, you want to watch, join us at www.ambitionchallenge.com. That would be ambition with a Z. Join the Ambition Challenge, www.ambitionchallenge.com. Didi, you rock. This is going to be so fun.
And we are back. This is the VCR, Village Creative Radio Show. I am your host, William Harriet, and we are here tonight with Jesse Rodelis. How's it going, Jesse?
It's going great, man. Glad to be here.
Good, good. All right. Let's get back into some of your work, and I want to talk about your commercial work right now. You work on illustrations, T-shirts, skateboards, and all sorts of merchandising. Talk about that element of your work, and I want to press you on a couple of things about the L.A. scene and what they're known for. But talk to me first about your approach to your merchandising element of your work.
Absolutely. I have a graphics company, which it's a home-based business. I've had it for 16 years since I've been in Los Angeles. I've never considered myself a starving artist, because when you express those words or you say those words, then you give life to them. So a lot of artists are there afraid to take on the technical end of the future of art, which is graphics. Of course, you know, graphic artists can create logos, magazine layouts, and album covers, and all types of graphics, billboards. They build websites. So I do all of the above. And I always told myself I wasn't going to just rely on, you know, my art, because I'm not going to have an art show. I have an art show every 2 or 3 years. So I'm not going to rely on that paycheck and wait 2 or 3 years to make some income. And then you don't even know if you're going to sell anything. I taught myself how to do graphics. I work in Corel, Photoshop, Dreamweaver, Illustrator, you name it. And I've done logos for Donald Trump, for Snoop Dogg, for Dr. Dre, F. Gary Gray. I've done tons of logos and websites for small businesses that's what keeps me going. You know, the small businesses, they continue, you know, everybody starts a new business and they want a logo, then they want some graphics done, they want their flyers done, they want their advertisements done. So, yeah, man, it's something that definitely I would encourage young artists to get into. And do not be afraid of the mouse. Do not be afraid of the computer. Do not be afraid of Photoshop. Whatever you can do with your paintbrush, you can do with a mouse.
I hear that. Well, tell me, how do you feel about the scene in North Hollywood? What is that scene like for you, especially coming from North Carolina?
Well, I tell you what, man, when I was younger, it was fun. I was out there, you know, it was just fun, exciting. But now that I'm older, you know, you tend to understand and know that, you know, Hollywood is a beast. It is a monster. That's the reason why there's so many homeless people out here in the world. In California, in L.A. Because you get caught up in drugs, you get caught up in the lies or the dreams, and you think because, you know, I have a lot of actor friends, you think that because you get a paycheck for, you know, a couple of grand, that's it, and you're going to continue to get that paycheck, but it doesn't work that way. You know, so it's very, if you don't have a good head on your shoulders, and you don't have a job, a second job, you know, something to maintain you until you make real money, then it's a beast and it can destroy you. Especially if you get into drugs or drinking, you cannot keep up with Hollywood. So I would advise anybody that comes out here to have your head on straight, to continue to work, even if you get an acting gig, even if you get a commercial, even if you get, you know, a modeling gig, you have to continue to stay focused. Because if you waver off anywhere on the side of the road, that's it. You know, and then you're only as good as your last gig. So if you don't have any new gigs, or if you don't have anything new coming up, then you're basically done. So it is a beast. It's a monster. So, and I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. So that's one of the reasons why I think I'm where I'm at today, and I, you know, continue to work.
Okay. Good. Clean and sober.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Speaking of clean and sober, I want to talk to you a little bit about your family, and you seem to have a soft spot for children in your work. And I noticed that you work with some foundations and organizations that are dedicated to children. Tell me about where that comes from, that soft spot for children.
You know what, man? I'm for sure I know it comes from my son.
Okay.
I never intended on being a father. I never intended on, you know, having any children. I just was focused on my career, and, you know, it turns out that I ended up having a child, and he is the most beautiful and inspirational thing that could have happened to me. That's what slowed me down. He's the love of my life. He's my heart. You know, I never had a good father figure. My father, you know, he's in prison, so I never had that dad or that father to raise me. But my son, you know, man, he has everything. He has the best of both worlds, and I enjoy just being there for him and watching him. So by me having my child, basically that gives me the inspiration to help other kids, because I was one of those other kids that didn't have the father, that didn't have that role model or that hero to look up to. So
okay.
I make sure I give that to him, but I also understand that all his little buddies or friends of his, you know, they don't have that. So it touches home, you know, for me. And my painting, Peace for the Children of the World, which is my Olympic piece and my most famous piece, is actually of my son. I painted my son. Mm. You know, I did five different paintings, and that was the last one. And my son was waiting for me to go take him to the movies, and I was submitting the artwork. Now, with the Olympics, there's six artists selected from all over the world, from Japan, Korea, Germany, Russia, you name it, New Zealand, you know, Berlin, everywhere. All these millions of artists submit their work, and there's only six selected from all over the world for each Olympic game. And I was fortunate enough and blessed enough to be one of them. And my painting was of my son, and I called it Peace for the Children of the World. I'm the youngest Olympic artist. I'm the second minority Olympic artist for the United States. Ernie Barnes was the first. and we're both from North Carolina. And I painted my son's face. I'm also the only artist to ever have three paintings simultaneously in one Olympics. And to top it all off, man, I got my letter saying I was a certified Olympic artist, or I was commissioned to do the Olympic piece for the United States on my son's birthday. So everything just aligned up.
And wow.
God is just aligning everything up for me. So, you know, I have to give God the glory for everything he's done. Because truth be told, when I found out I was going to have a child, I thought my career was over. I said, man, okay, I'm going to have to just give this dream up. But again, I tell young people, don't give up. Because painting my son, it ended up being my most famous piece of work. And actually, it was the beginning of my art career.
So now you got to go back and give me a little bit more of the backstory on this. Now, did you do the painting before? I mean, how was that painting selected? Did someone from the Olympic Committee see it?
Here's how it works.
Okay.
Excuse me. I had to cure myself. Here's how it works. I knew nothing about the Olympics as far as artwork being in the Olympics. That I didn't know. I'm kind of like everybody. At first, I was like everybody else. What do you mean, you know, art in the Olympics? I did some artwork. Sold some pieces to Miguel Nunez, who's an actor, and a couple of Tommy Ford, a couple of other celebrities out here in Los Angeles before. He was at a dinner and with some more art lovers and, you know, art people that buy art. And one of the people that was sitting at the dinner table happened to be on the Olympic Committee, the United States Olympic Committee. And they were bragging about whose artwork they had, and if they had a Matisse, if they had a Van Gogh, or they had Giclées from these artists. And Miguel threw my name out. They went on the website, checked out my artwork, and the lady from the Olympic Committee, she told him, he needs to submit some artwork for the Olympics. It's coming up. So he passed on my information to her. She called me, and she said, hi, I met, you know, she gave me her name. She said, I met Miguel Nunez, and he told me about your work. I love your work. You should submit your artwork for the Olympics. So she explained to me that every Olympics, there's six artists selected from all over the world. Now, she told me, these are her exact words, there's not a chance in hell that you're going to be selected. But it is my duty as and my job as to be on the Olympic Committee, on the board, to spread the word to every artist I meet. So that's my job. I'm just doing my job. I'll give you the information, but you're probably not going to be selected, but do it anyway because you never know. And a couple of months went by. The artwork I submitted, it was the Winter Olympics, the 2006 Winter Olympics. I submitted five pieces of snowboarding and skiers and all this stuff, and the last piece was of my son, his face, and I did a dove as a symbol of peace because the dove is a universal symbol of peace. And we were at war at that time. So I called it the Children of the World. And it turns out they loved it. And I became one of six artists selected for the Olympics to be commissioned by the United States Olympic Committee. And I think the other there was Jane Seymour and Peter Max. Jane Seymour is from the United States, and Peter Max is too. The other three were from Russia and Germany.
Okay. That's a powerful thing. Do it anyway. You never know.
To an artist, that's our Oscar and our Grammy. That's the best way to describe it. To an artist, that's the highest achievement you can get as an, you know, as an artist.
Well, great. Well, I tell you what. We're going to take another short break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about politics, if you would.
Definitely.
And a little bit of the political things that go on in your work and in your life.
Definitely.
Once again, this is the Village Creative Radio Show. I am your host, William Harriet, and tonight we have special guest, Mr. Jesse Radalis. We will be back in a short moment.
Interested in having a bigger voice in the conversation? Well, we're hooking you up with 30-second commercials during the show with our incredible low rates and over 8 shows a month. So come on in and join the conversation with Clark Garrison and be a sponsor. Sundays 4 p.m. Eastern and Wednesday 7 p.m. Eastern. The conversation. Now you can have a bigger voice in it.
All right, we are back. Once again, this is the VCR, Village Creative Radio Show, and tonight we are talking with Mr. Jesse Rodales. So, Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Rodales.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about some politics here. Now, how important is politics in your life? Earlier you mentioned that you're a mood artist. So whatever mood you're in, you paint that. So tell me, how does the political element of your life get incorporated into that?
Definitely. Politics is a huge part of my art world because, you know, it's part of what's happening now during my time and my era while I'm here on this earth. So it's definitely, you know, a storytelling ideas and just creative thoughts and minds. The politics, you know, that is what's happening live right now as we see it. There's history being made, and I like to document it through my painting. I like when Barack Obama got selected as president, I did a series of Barack Obama pieces, and I plan on doing it again this year, you know, coming up for this election. I'm very involved in politics. I'm a registered voter. I can't wait to see the outcome, and, you know, I'm hoping and praying that everybody gets out there and votes for Barack, because we definitely need it. There's a lot of people that are going to suffer if he doesn't get reelected. So I'm very involved with politics right now. I've been keeping up with everything, you know, everybody's speeches, Castro, President Clinton, who's my favorite, they're just everybody. I think Joe Biden's speaking right now while we're talking. And the First Lady. So, yes, I'm definitely very involved with politics, and I'm very, you know, into it. I'm in tune to what's going on.
Okay. And let me say this for my listeners that may hear this on the playback later. We're in the midst of the campaign and the election, and the Democratic National Conference is going on right now in your home state. In Jesse's home state, and there have been some wonderful speeches so far. A couple of nights ago, I listened to the First Lady give a very powerful speech. Last night, Bill Clinton took so many facts and just concisely squeezed those facts into an interesting story, and I need to listen to that again. That was a very powerful
Definitely.
Delivery he gave last night. And, of course, tonight the headliner, Mr. Barack Obama, is going to be speaking. So we're gonna probably end this one. this but we usually go for an hour. We may not take it to the full hour tonight, so because we're on Obama watch over here as well.
That's right.
So with that said, I just wanted to get that out there. And tell me, how are you feeling about this conference? Did you watch any of the Republican convention?
Oh yeah, man, I've been watching. Yes, I've been watching, and you know, night and day, everybody. Been watching the Republicans. I've been watching the Democrats, and just very excited. I think, like as one of the news anchors from CNN said, basically after last night, Bill Clinton really, I think, won this election for us. As long as Barack gives a great speech, which he will tonight, I really think and believe that that sealed the deal last night. And the First Lady, one of her quotes that just stuck with me was basically what we all say, you know, don't slam the door. Go back and help someone else once you make it. That was so powerful because so many people slam the door and they don't want others to get ahead. And that's what the Republicans are doing. And then with Mr. Clinton, one of the most powerful things that I learned from his speech was he said something about the Republicans were in the White House for 28 years and the Democrats for like 24 years. And out of those 52 years, and there were 66 million private sector jobs that were created. And the score was the Republicans had 24 million. They created 24 million, but the Democrats created 42 million jobs. So that was very powerful.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, when the rhetoric meets the facts, what happens?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm definitely keeping a close eye on this election.
Well, tell me about your work with the United Nations, if you could. You have an up-and-coming project, and I know the United Nations is supposed to be not political, but, well, they're supposed to be, you know, somewhat neutral in a sense, but they are political. Tell me about if shoes grew on trees, this project that you're working on now.
Yes, it's with the Jack Sims Shoe Foundation, and they commissioned me out to do a painting. And when I was explaining as to, you know, why this painting was being created or why they wanted me to do it, I did not know that there was 300 million children worldwide who are barefoot and do not have shoes, not one pair of shoes. We don't know about that here in America. 300 million kids worldwide, all over the world, that don't have shoes. So after I did the piece for the Jack Sims Shoes Foundation, who's affiliated with the United Nations, they loved it so much that they're creating a fundraiser with the piece. So if you purchase a reprint for, I think it's like 25 or 30 bucks, every time you purchase one of the reprints, they're going to give a pair of shoes to a child in Africa and Asia and these third world countries. And every time you buy Jacle, which is the reprint on canvas and looks just like the original, and they run around, I think, like $400, $300 something, $400 by the Jacle, you're going to get a certificate of authenticity. You're going to get a plaque. You're going to be able to provide 10 shoes for 10 kids by purchasing one of these Jacles. And your name is going to go up on the website. And then they got the original piece, which is, you know, I think they're going to put it in a museum in Washington, D.C., and auction it off for like $100,000. But you're going to help children every time you buy one of these things or buy a piece. And then they also have the painting. They're going to engrave it in marble. And if you buy a marble piece, you're going to help 20 kids with shoes. So when you purchase this painting or jacquet or reprint, it's the same piece but just in different formats. you'll be able to help children. Just buying a reprint, you're going to help one child with shoes. So it's a beautiful thing that they're doing. It's very powerful. You know, and it's called If Shoes Grew on Trees, 300 million kids worldwide would not be barefoot. So I'm very, very excited about that and working with Mr. Jack Sims and his foundation, the SS4, JM Global Shoe Distribution, which is the first minority-owned shoe manufacturer in the United States.
Very interesting.
So I'm very, very excited to be working with them. It's an honor.
Okay. Well, you also have your talents are not limited to the canvas, and you were telling me earlier about a play that you're going to be involved in. You do the Hollywood bug has hit you. You're going to do some acting. Is that what's going on?
Hey, you know what? You know what? Lord bless me. I'm not trying to be no actor, but I've been in several movies and several plays and TV shows. You know, the writers, they write me in, you know, or the directors want to include me in once I, you know, put a piece in a play or on, you know, the set of a TV show or a movie. And I don't turn it down. I'm not afraid of it. But my friend, this will be probably like my third play that I'm in. Playwright Tracy J in Greensboro, North Carolina, is having a play. It's titled Love 911. It's May 11th, 2013 in Greenville, North Carolina, and I will be one of the stars in the play. So I'm very excited about that. She's a great playwright, and she's got plays going on now. I think there's one coming up in October that she's producing, her production company, Swag Entertainment. So I'm very excited about that, and I'll be playing one of the characters in her play. So I'm excited.
Okay. That's got to be fun, man, doing all of these things and you're flying around.
It's a blessing, man.
Wonderful.
It's a blessing. And like I said, you know, I put God first. Wherever he leads me, I'm following him. So, you know, that's what I do. I don't turn nothing down unless, you know, it's going to hurt me or something. But, yeah, man, if God sees fit for me to do plays and do other things and, you know, expand my territory, then I'm following him.
I hear that. Well, before you leave us, and I want you to let everyone know how to get in contact with you, your websites, your Twitter. How can people reach Mr. Jesse Rodelas?
Oh, it's very easy. Just go to www.jessereraudales.com. That's jesseradales.com. And you can contact me from there. You can contact my PR rep. You can contact me for events or motivational speaking. And if for some reason you can't spell my name or something, just Google Jesse Rodelas or as best you can. I'll probably be the first one to pop up, or Olympic artist, and I'll probably be popping up along with the other Olympic artists. So, jesseradales.com. Everything, you know, that's the best way to contact me.
All right. Well, before I let you go, I think we got a caller that wanted to come in and ask a question or make a comment. So,
definitely.
Caller, are you there?
I am here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Let me just say this. This gentleman that is on the line is one of the most remarkable, talented gentlemen that I've ever met. I'm proud to call him friend. We've known him for a while. He's been a big supporter of this station from the very beginning. And this is Clark Garrison. Jesse, I just want to say, man, you're the man. You're just the man.
Hey, Clark, how you doing, buddy? Thank you, man. I appreciate you. And you know, thank you for always thinking about me. Always.
Man, it's easy to do with your talent, brother. It stands alone in my book. I just look forward to it. I really do. It seems like every season you're doing something else that's remarkable, outside the box, and unique. We tend to categorize artists as single-minded in their approach, and as you said, you're a you're a modern-day Michelangelo. So I'm proud of you, man. You've only scratched the surface of your greatness, and I look forward to witnessing that as your friend. So thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for chiming in, Mr. Clark Garrison.
Say that again, sir.
I said thank you for chiming in, Mr. Clark Garrison, and thank you for hooking me up with Mr. Jesse here. I've enjoyed myself during this interview here. So,
well, man,
it's been a pleasure.
I knew you two artists would get along wonderfully, brother. So you're doing an excellent job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesse.
Yes, sir.
Hello. All right.
Yes, I'm
once again, I'd like to thank you for spending time with us tonight. I really enjoyed this interview. I look forward to following your work, and we're going to be in touch, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Anytime, man, just give me a holler.
All right.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you as well. All right, we're going to take one more commercial break. And we will be back in a moment. This is the Village Creative Radio Show. I am your host, William Harriet. And tonight we had a very special guest, Mr. Jesse the Dallas. We will be back in a very short moment with our final thoughts.
Hello, America. It's me, Charmaine, the author of the book, The Bait to Get You Made. Are you tired of being alone? Are you tired of men not approaching you? And just tired of not choosing the right mate? Well, I'm here to help. Pick up my book, The Bait to Get Your Mate, and learn how to be a winner in love. Learn who you are in a relationship, how to choose the right mate, and how to get them to commit without saying a word. Go to thebaittogetyourmate.com and pick up your copy today and become a winner in love.
We are back. Once again, I'd like to thank Mr. Jesse Rodales for joining us this evening. Left some very strong impressions about us, some really good takeaways, participating in the process of the election and his involvement with young people. Very inspirational. I'd like to talk to you about Survival Network's schedule as we conclude our show tonight. At 4 p.m. on Sundays, we have the conversation with Clark Garrison. At 9 a.m. on Mondays, the setup with Chloe Taylor Brown. And at 7 p.m. on Mondays is Let's Talk Politics with Clark Garrison. At 8:30 p.m. on Mondays is Vino Noir with Jerry Garrison. At 8:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, From the Basement to the Boardroom with Mr. Brian Joubert. At 10 p.m. on Tuesdays, Ambition News and Entertainment with Demetra Stewart. At 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, The Conversation with Clark and Gail. And at 9 p.m. on Thursdays, it's the Village Creative Radio Show with yours truly, William Harriet. Tonight's selections were songs composed by Mr. Tyrone Jackson, Another Voyage, and Gospelizer. Once again, this is the VCR, Village Creative Radio Show. I'm your host, William Harriet. It has been my pleasure. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Good night.
freedom train.